From Colorado Public Radio, this is Colorado Matters. I'm Sarah Hughes. On Thursday, the state gets new power to investigate and prosecute doctors it suspects of abusing Colorado's medical marijuana law. Until now, the database of legal medical marijuana users and their doctors has been strictly off limits, except to confirm that someone is a legal user. So far, the state hasn't used it to identify doctors who might be abusing the system. That just changed. The state now has clear authority to root out sham doctors and a budget to go after them. The head of the state health department, Dr. Ned Collange, joins us to talk about it in a few minutes. But first, we hear from a couple of doctors who each write more than 100 medical pot recommendations a month. We'll also hear from the head of the state's physicians organization on where mainstream medicine is coming down on the changes. For that, we go to Colorado Public Radio health reporter Eric Whitney.
Dr. Margaret Getty is a pathologist and researcher by training. She spent a few years in the pharmaceutical industry and had an alternative medicine practice in Salida for a while. Last fall, she got a new gig.
My practice is different. I go out, I specifically serve patients for the medical marijuana signups.
Dr. Getty travels to small towns, where people might otherwise have a hard time getting a confidential evaluation. She writes more than 100 medical marijuana recommendations a month, and at $100 a pop, is on track to generate six figures in annual revenue. Dr. Getty says she welcomes the new law regulating the doctor-patient relationship in medical marijuana practices.
It is a help to me because I know that these are the things I have to tick off, and as long as I cover those things, then I'm covered for any sort of investigation or questioning.
Dr. Getty says the state's new checklist is generally everything she's already been doing since she started specializing in medical marijuana, meeting with patients face-to-face, doing a full assessment and consultation, and offering follow-up care.
I want regulation. The good docs want regulation.
Dr. Paul Bregman is a medical marijuana specialist in Denver who also sees a high volume of patients. He says his practice has always met the medical standards the law has now codified, so he doesn't see it impacting him much. But he says it has caused his employer, CanaMed USA, to institute a new policy. A follow-up visit is now mandatory.
Do I think it's needed in my practice, in the practical real world? I haven't seen it to be needed, even though it's probably going to be extra money for, it will be extra money for the patient.
The new law doesn't say doctors must do a follow-up with medical marijuana patients, just that they have to be available for one. But CanaMed has made them mandatory and tacked $25 onto the cost of an evaluation to cover a follow-up appointment. More concerning to Dr. Bregman is the new authority the state has to scan its medical marijuana patient directory looking for suspicious docs.
Yes, it concerns because it's a subtle and some may say very overt transfer of power from the Board of Medical Examiners and puts it under a whole new wing whose rules are yet to be determined.
The Board of Medical Examiners is the body that hears complaints against doctors. It can investigate, but it's complaint-driven. That means it doesn't seek out bad docs. It only follows up when a suspicious one is brought to its attention. The transfer of power Dr. Bregman talks about is the state health department's new authority to scan the medical marijuana patient registry, looking for doctors it finds suspicious, to refer to the board for follow-up.
This is like shifting sands. I hope the policies are going to be more black and white. But the bills, while they regulate, there's also an undertone of punitiveness that they talk a lot about punishment. So while they're regulating, they're also at the same time emphasizing punishment.
But Dr. Mark Leto sees things differently. He's the head of the state's largest physicians organization, the Colorado Medical Society, which helped write the new law regulating the doctor-patient relationship.
What the bill did this year is it created some rules, has created some clear guidelines for us to follow as physicians as we incorporate marijuana into part of the treatment program.
Dr. Leto says Colorado doctors have generally resisted attempts to write into law specific medical practice guidelines, like explicitly defining a bona fide doctor-patient relationship.
You know, it had not really been a problem that we were aware of at the medical society until medical marijuana came along.
Now that the rules are explicit, Dr. Leto says the medical society doesn't have a problem with the other aspect of the new law, letting the state health department use the patient registry to identify suspicious docs and refer them to the board for investigation. The head of the health department, Dr. Ned Collange, says he's doing just that, looking at both past records for signs of fraud as well as tracking practices going forward. I sat down with him to talk about how doctors might have to change their practices if they don't want to get flagged for investigation.
I think if they were not doing an appropriate physical exam, they'll have to change that. I think they're going to have to make sure that they document that they're providing appropriate care. Now, I would argue they should be already doing that. It's the physicians who might be sitting in an assembly line who aren't doing a physical exam, who aren't actually doing an assessment, who are just signing a form. Those physicians will have a problem.
So you'll be able to look backwards at practice patterns from years past to bring an investigation to the board about those doctors?
That would be my preference. The issues about, you know, when the bill was signed, so when did those requirements go into effect, versus substandard medical care is always substandard medical care. Those are kind of legal issues that we have to work through, but it's our intent that we know who the doctors are. The patterns are concerning. They still represent a concerning pattern, and it would be our intent to actually refer the docs over that we have concerns about.
For doctors that don't want to be referred to the board, what are the bright lines that they can't cross to make sure that they won't be investigated?
It's difficult to draw a line in the sand at this point to say we know what those patterns are. I mean, so the only thing I have currently from the registry is volume data. And the two patterns that would be concerning to me would be total volume, so that, you know, is there a number above which it would be difficult to conceive that appropriate medical care is being provided to chronically ill patients? That would be one line.
What's that number?
We'll start with the most egregious cases. So if there's one doctor who has, you know, over 2,000 patients on the registry, that's where we'd start. The medical board has to work through these cases. I can't give them, you know, 15 cases to do at one time. The other pattern that we're looking for is volume in a day. So the anecdotes about booths at the National Stock Show Complex for different events where the physician would just sign the form in the booth. Well, that's not appropriate medical care.
You don't think that might put physicians in an unfair situation where if they don't know exactly what the bright lines are, if there's the doctor up the street is doing 100 recommendations a week and I'm doing 50, you know, will that doctor be investigated and I won't? Or how are physicians supposed to tell what's ethical and not?
Well, so what I would tell physicians is they just need to meet the medical standard of care for the assessment and care of a patient with one of the conditions that's in the Constitution. And so a physician who's doing 100 in a day, who says, boy, you know, I believe the right amount of time with the patient, I review their charts, I do a targeted physical exam, I do the assessment, I think I'm doing everything right and it's all in my documentation, the physician has nothing to worry about. They may get investigated, but the medical board is going to dismiss the case, and that'll be over. That'll be done.
So if a physician is referred to the board for investigation or hearing, does that have any implications for the patients, the people whose medical marijuana cards they've signed off on?
If a patient has a medical marijuana card, it's good for a year, and we can't retroactively deny those. There won't be any retroactive denials.
To go back to the authority that the state has to refer doctors to the Board of Medical Examiners, doctors who they think might need to be checked up on, as the chief medical officer, you have the power to look into the confidential registry and identify patterns and refer physicians based on that information to the medical board. Do you have that same power to look at practice patterns of doctors not involved with medical marijuana?
No. And why the difference? Is there is no other setting where a bad doctor providing substandard medical care might be protected by the Constitution.
But does the state have that kind of information on doctors who prescribe other dangerous prescription drugs? Can you?
There's not a system for it because there's not a registry.
So doctors in that situation, the only way that they would be investigated is through a complaint or an investigation by law enforcement?
Right, but there are other ways that physicians like that come to the attention. So pharmacies and pharmacists actually have the responsibility to report concerning scheduled drug prescribing patterns to both the DEA, the Board of Pharmacy, and the medical board.
What kind of resources does the state have to find these doctors and investigate and prosecute them?
The Constitution, the amendment, stated that the medical marijuana program has to pay for itself. So the source of all funds for the medical marijuana program currently is the fee, the application fee. And of that amount that we have in our fund balance, the General Assembly appropriated us or gave us $815,000. And they allow us to hire 2.1 more people. 0.1 would be someone working part-time, or that 2.1 people might be divided over a number of part-time folks. The bulk of that money, though, won't stay in the department. The bulk of the money would go to the Department of Regulatory Agencies to fund the investigations for physicians that are referred over.
Do you think that Senate Bill 109 will have any effect on the steep growth curve in the number of people getting medical marijuana recommendations in Colorado?
So the impact on 109 on the number of people on the registry, I think, is just very difficult to predict. And the reason is because we really, other than the anecdotes, of which there are many, we don't have any other way of having a sense of who in the, up to 100,000 people might be on the registry, who really meet that criteria that was envisioned in the Constitution, and who are actually using the system as kind of a backdoor to recreational use. And I know that some people are, but I have no idea of the amount. By using 109, the hope is that the assessments will meet the medical standard of care and that the patients will have the conditions envisioned by the Constitution and will meet the law. And so the reduction in that number that might be caused by really making it medical marijuana is hard to predict.
Do you expect the law to have any impact on the number of doctors in Colorado who are making medical marijuana recommendations?
I think what I expect the bill to do, it will restrict the physicians who can participate in the program only to those who have unrestricted active licenses. So that will make participation not possible for some doctors who currently have their licenses restricted. So that may have some reduction. I also hope that the number of physicians might be reduced because the fraudulent physicians, the doctors who aren't doing it in concert with the appropriate and medical standard of care, those physicians may stop as well. On the other hand, I want to assure physicians that if they're doing it appropriately for those few patients who definitely meet the criteria, they'll be fine. And I actually encourage physicians to kind of embrace that, to say, boy, if you have a patient that this could help, you should have it under your consideration, and that's appropriate use. So we may actually see an increase in the number of physicians who recognize that it might benefit some of their patients, while the number that decreases will be the practices that aren't meeting the medical standard of care.
Does the board have the power to pull a physician's license for not meeting the standard of care around medical marijuana?
They can take actions that restrict the physician's license. So they could restrict the physician's license to not taking care of a group of patients, not providing some kind of care. They could require additional education. They could require additional assessments. Those are all within their purview. And then kind of the ultimate level of discipline is revocation. That's a pretty dramatic level, but recognize that that's what we do for clinicians that we think cannot provide the standard of medical care and cannot provide safe and effective care to the people of Colorado. I can't predict what the board will do, nor I think could they predict, because they actually have to see the care and make the assessments. But that full range of potential disciplinary actions is available to the board.
Dr. Collange, thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Eric.
Dr. Ned Collange is head of the State Department of Health. He spoke with Eric Whitney about new powers his department now has to investigate doctors who are suspected of abusing the state's medical marijuana system.